Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
A podcast network.
Hello!
And welcome to...
Two!
Filthy!
Nerds!
Because we're filthy.
And we're nerds.
And there's two of us and we're back together.
We're back together, locked in the Ravenclaw Tower.
You guys, it has been a long road being away from one another, but we did it.
We survived. She survived.
Barely.
My boyfriend didn't murder me the whole time I was in his space. What a hero he is.
I really have to say you guys have an incredible relationship.
Maybe not anymore after that month of being trapped together. I'm just kidding. I love him and it's sustained. We're going strong.
It is incredible that you lived in a little room together.
Yeah. It was...
That room doesn't look like it has a lot of walking space, because every time Andy walks in, it looks like he's creeping along the wall.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It's
It looks like the bed takes up the whole room.
It does. There's a bed, and then I sit in the desk. For some reason, he's got a couch in there he won't get rid of, though nothing. Peach sits on the couch, I guess.
It's Peach's bed?
It's Peach's bed, yeah. She also lays in bed with us and growls if we move her.
Little bitch.
But, you know, it worked out. The nice thing about the whole quarantine was realizing what we would need when we do live together, which is more space. Yeah. More than we can afford. And so we don't live together.
Is that a reason to not live together?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I think here's the thing. I think a lot of people want to. They do this thing where they're like, well, we could save money by getting a small space together. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's, you know, sacrifice some of the things we would like in our home situation to save some money, and then it ends up killing the relationship because there's no space.
But if you've proven that living in a small space together works.
It doesn't work well.
Yeah.
No, it works. There were 2 weeks where my therapist, I've said this already, took vacation over Christmas. A lot of thoughts on that I don't have time to go into. We were really struggling. I'm a lot when I'm taking care of my mental health.
And you're even more when you're not.
Yeah. I'm also like messy and that drives people crazy. And in a small space, whoo.
Is that an issue with you and Andy, your messiness?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's like a huge issue, but I am disorganized. And I have always been someone who I just like, why are you making the fucking bed? Why do we make beds? We're going to get back in them. And he is someone who needs the bed to be made for him to feel sane. And that, in a nutshell, is the headbutting part of our relationship.
You guys butt heads over the making of a bed?
I don't know. I mean, that's like a metaphor.
Okay.
Like, I was like, let's make the bed. I'm not going to unmake the bed and be like, this is, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's little things like that that, like, drive him. He, like, needs them. I feel like maybe you relate to this. Needs things to be in a certain place to feel like his brain is organized.
Does he ask you to put things in place?
Yeah. And then I don't go, fuck you. I'm not doing that. But it's because it's his space.
Yeah.
You know what else he does? He comes to my space and puts things in spaces that I didn't have spaces for.
And do you get upset about that?
Yeah. And I know I shouldn't. This isn't what we're supposed to bitch about.
Yeah, we're not bitching about this.
The thing is when you organize an unorganized person's stuff, what you don't realize is it's organized to them.
Yeah.
I know where everything in the pile
is. I get that.
Is.
I get that. In the personal organizing that I do on the occasion, which I'm probably going to have to do a lot more because I have no other way of making money.
God help us all. I was crying, filling out my, going through my expenses for taxes. I literally was sobbing moments before we came on the air.
I'm going to be sobbing next week when I have to do it.
Yeah. But sorry, I interrupted you.
No,
personal organizing. Do you make it a priority to have the person there to like walk through the system?
It's, depending on what area I'm organizing, I'm not going to organize a highly personalized area unless the person is there.
Because you don't want them freaking out that they don't know where their documents are, where they're... It's a nice gesture.
It's also important when I'm organizing a space to know what your flow of things. So if I'm organizing a kitchen, I'll ask the person, you know, what is your day-to-day in a kitchen? Like, what are you doing most often in a kitchen? Are you making a smoothie? Okay, cool. So I'm going to make it so that your smoothie ingredients and your smoothie machine and all of that stuff is kind of like in a
easily accessible,
easily accessible area.
So that's not shoved to the back behind all the pots and pans. You know, that makes sense.
In the food storage, you know, what foods are you not, like, you're not eating canned tomatoes that often. So we can put canned tomatoes on like a lower shelf in the back kind of thing.
Wow. So thoughtful.
So, you know, I try to organize it so that prominent things are accessible. And then
the things you use the most. Yeah. That makes total sense. I like that you do that. Cause I think it's like,
It's all essentially is it's just trying to organize chaos.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, I don't think when Andy organizes my room, I don't think he's doing it to go like, you fucking slob. Yeah. I think it's like a nice gesture. It's like a love language of acts of service. Mm-hmm. So I don't get outwardly mad at him. But I come in and I have to go, oh, like I just silently go, oh no, he put bills away and I'm just not going to pay those because I won't find them. And then I'll be late on my, it's my own brain's fault, but like it stresses me out when someone organizes my stuff.
Yeah.
But I also am very aware that my stuff not being organized is equally as stressful to that person.
Yeah.
So it's just, you learn a lot about, you know, what you need and learning to balance that and come through for another person. And that's been interesting, but it is nice to be back in my own disorganized space.
It doesn't look that disorganized, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Lying, you guys. There's a pile of mail right beyond the camera.
That's like a little disorienting.
The sheets are coming off the bed.
I saw that.
There's two piles. There's two suitcases. Why? Mm-hmm. Where am I going? Why do I have suitcases?
Nowhere.
But that's neither here nor there. Okay, listen, you guys, a little bit of information before we dive into what will be a quick bitch. We've already gone on, but like, whatever. This is a movie episode because we did a double David Bowie feature. So the episode itself probably won't be as long as a book episode would be.
But that's okay.
That's okay. As you know, if you've been listening, we are about to get into our seventh and final Harry Potter book. So we did a palate cleanser. That's what this was. We finished book six. Let's do a little change up for a week and then dive into it. But we're coming toward the end of our Harry Potter series. And last night after our movie watch, our second movie watch of the week, we had a little powwow with the patrons, which you can be a part of. Patreon.com/twofilthynerds.
Do it.
You also get to be a part of those movie watches. Where we kind of came up with, you know, we brought an idea to the table, but we sussed it out with them, got some suggestions, and we made a bracket to vote on what we do next.
It's a brilliant idea.
Yes. And all of those ideas were submitted by a couple from us, but also from the patrons who were in the chat. So it was a very interactive experience where we got real suggestions from real listeners who are big fans of the show. And we're going to continue to do that every time we're getting near the end of a series. So you can be part of the suggestions, but also get in on the early bracket voting. We've got 16 things to choose from. Really quick, I'm actually going to run down what they are just for this episode. You have 16 options to vote on. We're going to get down to our eight.
I have my favorites, but I'm not going
to
say.
Yeah, we already voted. Once we get to the final four, here's what's going to happen. We will open it up so that you all can vote for a donation. For $1.
Uno dollar.
You get a vote. All the patrons will get their votes automatically. And depending on their level, we're giving for every $5 a month. So because we have $5, $25, and $100, mm-hmm. and I think a $50 mm-hmm. subscription level, you get one vote for $5. But you, as an individual listener, can get a vote for $1. So you can fucking scam. You could just put in a ton of votes for one thing if you want. And that's a way to let you guys participate, but also fucking pay us for the content we put out. And God, you've heard us talk about how poor we are. Mm-hmm. Anyways, here's what we're voting on right now. The 16 we're choosing from are The Expanse, John Dies at the End, Space Odyssey series, the Dark Tower series, Twilight, Hunger Games, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, the Marvel Universe, we'd be doing the entire movie series, Lord of the Rings, Chronicles of Narnia, Planet of the Apes, The Witcher. I really could have brought you in on this, but I took over.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. Mark Twain. And if that one goes all the way through.
I'm doing a peanut gallery thing over here. When you say something that I really like, I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's telling
Marvel,
you.
Marvel, guys, Marvel.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Marvel and Lord of the Rings, by the way, right now, neck and neck. Some of these are its fucking landslides, but Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and The Magicians. And so if you feel strongly about one or more of those, head over to patreon.com/twofilthynerds.
Even if you don't feel that strongly, go. Doesn't everybody like voting?
Yeah.
Don't we see how much voting helps?
How fun it is and what it leads to, that it's all a positive experience?
Uh-huh. Just think, if you don't vote, then you can't blame us for how bad this next series is.
We will include screenshots of the final outcomes of all of these votes so that you cannot come for us. But we will close the 16 round brackets next Sunday when we record. You also get to be part of live recordings mm-hmm. if you're a patron.
Next Sunday is going to be exciting as fuck.
Yeah, because we're going over these, but we'll be diving into
kicking it off a book numero seven,
Deathly Hallows, and also we're starting a new thing next week where we're running our filthy mouths. This long ass shit you're listening to, well, not these plugs, but like whatever we bitch about. We're going to make those separate episodes. You'll be able to see them cohesively in the live stream, but that way we can go a little bit longer because. Our producer Sam gets on our ass when we talk too much. He's like, get to the fucking book. Nobody cares about your opinions outside of Harry Potter, whores. So if that's true.
So we found a new place to run our whore mouths.
Yeah. You won't have to listen to our whore opinions. And if you love our whore opinions, they will be longer.
Our whorey opinions out of our whorey mouths. Just a whole whore lot of fun.
Yes.
Horror. We're going to do the horror.
Yeah. The horror. So before we dive into Labyrinth, which is what this episode is all about. Mm-hmm.
Quick bitch.
Yeah. Let's talk about movies you loved as kids.
That didn't hold up or did hold up.
Or that did hold up. Just rewatching a movie you loved as a kid because you
loved Labyrinth as a kid.
Yeah. You have been talking a lot of fucking this movie is the shit. And what are you thinking after you watched? Well, I mean, I guess we'll go into what you're thinking about this, but let's talk about some other ones. Because look, I don't know if anyone else deeply regressed into their trauma in the past 10 months being locked up in their own home.
And if you didn't,
tell us how.
How? Yeah. Very, very much wondering.
Yeah. What are you prescribed to? So I can direct my psychiatrist to that medication.
Yeah. Cause she doesn't seem to be getting it. And I don't have a psychiatrist. So.
Oh boy. Cause look, I rewatched the Care Bears movie. Gotta say, still loved it.
Uh-huh. Care Bear Stare.
Yeah, Care Bear Stare. Nicholas, the fucking orphan kid who's undertaken by the magician. Mm-hmm. He gets taken over by this crazy book. It's a whole thing. Still loved it.
Holds
Let me
up.
Tell okay. I loved the Care Bears, though. Let me tell I
like them too, but not as much as you.
I was more upset learning that the Care Bears were not real than I was when I realized God was a lie made up by elitists to make poor people accept their place in the world. And if you don't believe that, that's fine. I believe that there's something up there. I believe I'm spiritual. This fucking religion thing of a man in charge.
Maybe there's a rich God and a poor God.
Rich God, poor God. And poor God, well, you're on your own.
Isn't
poor
that a
God
book,
is
rich dad, poor dad.
I know. Rich dad.
Rich yeah. God, poor God.
I mean, it really.
God knows your dad.
It seems like God forgot about poor people.
God is your daddy.
And that's why they do all this fucking bullshit in Christianity. And I say that as
By the
a
way,
Christian,
why
as
did
a Catholic.
You get so Southern. There's all this bullshit in Christianity.
Did I?
Yeah, you got Southern.
Well, that's because
it makes sense. Keep going.
I
we get it. Subtext. We get all of it.
Look, I didn't know that I did that.
You did. You slipped into Southern.
Well, I was Southern
when I was at
Catholic Church.
Your bigot accent.
Yeah. When I start shitting on my own people.
Yeah.
I mean, this fucking blessed are the poor and hungry, for they will be rewarded. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for it is them who shall live. It's like, oh, don't worry, poor people. We'll take care of you in heaven is what the fuck that is.
Yeah,
that was not
on
the
earth,
point of this bitch.
Struggle. This, heaven, all yours. You're going to be rich when you get to heaven.
This is another rant for another time, but realizing the Care Bears were never going to come and rescue me from my terrible childhood was real hard for me. But the point is, I used to watch these videos. Please comment in the chat of the if you're watching this on fucking, I highly doubt anyone watching this on the Comedy Store would relate to this, but come to our social media if you listen to it and you want to comment later. But did anyone else watch these videos called We Sing? It was like a series of videos. There was like We Sing in Sillyville, We Sing at Big Rock County,
literally
Big Rock Candy Mountain, Grandpa's Magical Toys. Okay, listen, I was in love with these. It's like in one, these kids jump into a coloring book.
Were all kids into these, or were you just a special kind of loser?
I mean, I think both of those things could still be true. Yeah. First of all, I think, second of all, fuck you.
I mean, you were a loser. You were a shut-in when you were a kid. Absolutely.
I was not a shut-in.
You don't sound like you were the coolest kid.
These are three videos.
Yeah.
You didn't watch anything as a kid? This is like little kid shit.
Like, how little are we talking? Like Baby Einstein?
I don't know, because watching, looking.
I have a feeling you watched these way too late.
No, you know why? I would have thought that too, because I was like, I felt like such a close memory. And then I realized when I was watching them, all of these things I watched are before my dad left. So it had to have been 8 years old at most. But like, okay, so just for an example, there's this book where they jump into a coloring book and they're in this whole world where all the different colors are having a fight and they go to different sections where like, oh,
colors were fighting?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the metaphor. But as a kid, I watched it and it was really like they jumped into this whole world. And then in a pit of sadness, I hunted down these videos on Amazon. I had to pay extra.
When was this pit of sadness? Today?
It's, no.
You often pit in sadness.
It was in this home, so I lived here.
Okay, all right.
A few months ago, I sad pitted, and I don't think my dad was even dead yet, so.
You weren't even that sad
I didn't even know
yet.
How big the pit could get, you know? And we'll wrap up in a second, but I hunted these down, paid for an extra channel subscription on Amazon. I wanted to see how I would feel about them.
Also, full disclosure, she has no money.
Yeah.
She should not be getting this. Can someone please Venmo her to reimburse her for the cost of these stupid things?
Yeah, they were $20,000.
$20,000, send it to her Venmo.
Send me my Venmo.
JMS Comedy.
Jessica Michelle Singleton.
Yep.
The point is, I wasn't going, oh, these will... There was a little part of me that was like, maybe these will spark some sort of like deep joy.
Oh my God, spark
But I kind of wanted to see.
All right, Marie Kondo.
I wanted to see.
And did they?
No, it was so clearly a sound stage. Like, it was so cheaply made. I was like, I was so little that this seemed...
You remember the production value much higher than it actually was.
Yes, and it's just...
That's how I felt about Labyrinth.
Yeah, that you're like, oh.
I remember Labyrinth being so fucking cool. Like, oh my God. And then I found out that Labyrinth was the first time in movie history that a CGI animal was used. And I was like, oh, it looked like trash.
Yeah, no, it looked like.
But at the time, I blew my fucking mind open.
That's so funny. Yeah, because I remember like the owl at the beginning. We'll get into it. You know what? We're going to get into that. We're going to take a break. We'll start with the owl. And then we got a fucking lot of shit to talk. But I'm right there with you.
We're talking. We got big, big, big things to discuss.
That's right. Big things. Bowie, I'm looking at you. Okay, we're back. We're talking about Labyrinth. I want to discuss, we mentioned it before we cut to break, that fucking owl.
Cool owl.
That was the very first CGI.
Mm-hmm. Very first CGI and in all of movie history. Very first CGI animal. I guess they maybe have used CGI prior to that and had used other images, but that was the first CGI animal.
That's so, because watching it, as someone who never watched it before.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that, I was like, oh, this is what we're in for. You know, to me, I was like that looked like
if you took a semester of
not
graphic
even a
design.
Semester, if I watched a 5-minute YouTube on how,
CGI.
Yeah, how to use After Effects.
Mm-hmm. You could have made that owl.
I'm probably overstepping. I'm sure if I went and watched a 5-minute video on this, I would go, oh, well, I could just go fuck myself because even that owl is really fucking hard.
I love that you think you could get through a 5-minute video with your attention span.
Hey,
in the middle of it, you would get up to go to the kitchen to do something and then you'd leave the butter out and you'd leave the refrigerator door open.
As long as I take my medication, I'm fine. But if anyone has seen it, I lost it and I can't.
Yes.
Someone organized my room. No, I haven't.
Okay. I was like, oh, no.
But let's just dive in. So
Okay, so Labyrinth. It starts off the young lady, Sarah Williams, played by Jennifer Connelly.
Crazy. Wait, what is she in? What is she in as if she's older? I forgot.
Requiem for a Dream.
Right. Okay, so I don't know that I've actually seen her in it.
Beautiful Mind.
Okay, yep. I know who she is. Was she in 27 Dresses?
I don't know. That sounds like a trash movie that I never would have seen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Everything's not Labyrinth.
I love how you're like, was it this movie that no one has seen? I don't know anyone who's seen 27 Dresses.
That was a shitty rom-com, but it was like mainstream. That's like how to
it couldn't have been that mainstream. Notebook is mainstream. That's
how
a mainstream
rom-com.
How to Lose
a Guy in 10 Days and 27 Dresses are on the same level.
I mean, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, who was in it?
Matthew McConaughey
and Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
Okay. And who was in 27 Dresses?
I think Jennifer Connelly.
You don't even know. So obviously casting department did a shit job.
Oh yeah. Blame the casting department.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. It's Katherine Heigl. Of course. Trash. Judy Greer. Trash. Randy Edelman. I mean, wasn't he like Schindler's editor for that list?
So,
James Marsden. Nobody cares.
Hey, I was in a film with James Marsden.
Were you?
No, but I was in a promotional thing to promote a film for James Marsden. It was called Hop. It was an animated movie, and I dressed up as a bunny and promoted it.
Oh, where were you promoting that?
Movie theaters. Listen.
Did you get hired to be a mascot for a movie?
Yeah, by NBC Universal. I did. I'm a professional
mascot.
Did
you tell them about your mascot experience in high school? Is that how you got in?
Yeah, and also I was 4'11", and that's what they needed.
Yeah, true. That's true. You are mascot size.
Costume charactering has been, wow, such great energy. How tall are you? And they're like, great, she can be Elmo. I'm fine. I don't resent everyone.
You're built to be a mascot. I mean, I am.
Someone hire me to be a costume character, not on Hollywood Boulevard.
You know what is amazing? Let's go back to Labyrinth real quick. You could have played Hoggle.
Yeah, I know. But unfortunately, I was not alive yet.
It took three actors to make Hoggle work.
Because they're amateurs.
But that's a puppet.
I know.
Nobody was inside that thing.
Too bad.
Which also, is crazy to
why
think.
Why didn't they just give a job to a little person, you fucks?
Yeah, that is rude. You know what? There was no diversity in casting at the time.
Peter, what's his name? Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage. Peter That's Dinklage was just a sperm in somebody's sack, probably.
No, he's like older than you.
Is he? No.
Yeah.
Everybody's older than me. I'm so young.
Yeah.
So Sarah, the loser, is just wandering around
in
the woods, in a park, in a dress.
Reciting
some play.
I thought she was
auditioning something.
For something.
Yeah, I thought she was running her lines. Now, when I was younger, I didn't think she was running her lines. But as an older woman watching it, I was like, oh, she might be auditioning for something.
Well, yeah. Also, as an actress, that's probably something.
As an actress, I was projecting. I was like, great, she's going out for roles and I'm going out for nothing.
I thought it was interesting because as someone who had never seen it, the way they chose to open it where it's almost like a twist.
Mm-hmm.
Like it makes it like she's almost directly to camera
piece.
Yeah. Like you think, oh, it's starting. Here's this maybe princess at a castle. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out this is a girl in the current times, which at the time was, you know, mid-80s, just in a park
running lines.
It's like, look, I did some losery shit.
We
I did
know.
Not. I did
we
not
know.
Dress up to run lines alone in a park.
Yeah. Did you not? I feel like that's well within your wheelhouse.
Absolutely not.
Would you do that now?
For free? No.
I feel like you would do it.
No, I would never. I'm not going to do Shakespeare in the park because of my deep love for theater. Sorry, theater people. God bless you.
Do you have a deep love for theater at all? No. Anywho.
I love theater. I love musical theater.
You love musical theater. You are musical theater loser.
I, first of all, am not. Mm-hmm. I don't know enough about musical theater to be a loser about it.
You're not like our producer, Sam.
Who's getting angry in his box in our window.
Fuming right now. He's about to burst out in song. He's so mad. He's going to storm the neighborhood, snapping and bending at the knee.
I love musical theater. I am horribly unversed in so much of it. So when I say I love musical theater to a person who really loves it, they get quickly devastated because they immediately go into this like, here's a song from my favorite musical.
And it's
and
a
you
musical
do,
that
and
no
I,
one's
I'm
ever
like,
heard
I
of.
I don't know that
You're
one.
You're like, no one heard of Annie, Get Your Hitchhiking brother out of Compton.
Yeah, it's always okay. Like, you've never heard of The Third Window? And they're like, what about this one? Hooby Dooby, here's another song from a musical I actually wrote.
That's Bears of the Opera?
Yeah, and you're like, I don't fucking know.
No one knows it, no one cares.
I'm the kind of person who says they love musical theater that musical theater people hate because I'm like, you're like Grease. And they're like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, you like the basic bitch ones of musical theater.
I'm surface level.
Yeah, you're shallow and
it's top. I like top 40 musicals.
Yes, that's so true. That's so true. And Sam is a deep cut kind of guy.
Yeah, Sam is to musicals what I am to country music.
Yeah, Sam is the guy who liked. I'm trying to think of somebody who's like super underground, but I can't because I don't know anything.
We don't
like
know.
That. Anywho, so let's. So Sarah's Anyways, wandering around in the park.
It starts raining.
It's a pump fake. You think she's really, you know, acting and like maybe it's a period piece. But then it just turns out she lives in like Newton, Connecticut. And then she runs on home and it's raining and she's with her dog. And then
it's like Anytime USA. And she's like, I'm late because she's supposed to babysit.
Yeah, she's supposed to babysit. And then she gets to the, you know, Victorian house.
Gorgeous
that she
house,
grew up in, you know, her rough time. And her stepmother, her evil stepmother, lays into her. You're late. How could you? You knew we never go out. And then, of course, you know, Jennifer Connelly's character's like, you always go out and I never have anything. I never get to do what I want to do.
And it's also like, what do you want to do? Recite lines alone in the park? You can't do that in your house.
Yeah, you can do it in your house.
It's raining.
Loser. And she like hates her little brother because basically her father was married before to a woman who kicked the bucket.
Yeah.
And then he remarried to this woman and then he blew a load in this woman and made a little baby.
But she seems
so
to always have
a huge
have to-
age gap. And she always has to babysit for her little brother who's her half brother.
Yeah, well, it's like if your parents are going out every fucking night and you have to babysit, I could understand how you'd get resentful.
Yeah, super.
Although,
resentful.
It's like I don't feel like she's giving up hanging out with friends to do this because I question if she has friends.
She has no friends. She was alone in a park doing theater. Okay, that is a person who has not friends.
No, none at all.
So,
or otherwise they would be doing it with their friends.
They hand off the little baby, Oscar. Is that the baby's name?
Toby.
I'm sorry. Oscar. I got it confused with Oscar. Stacia's little nephew is Oscar. A friend of ours has an Oscar in her family.
Few friends who have a few Oscars in their family. It's part of living in Hollywood, really.
So Toby, you know, her dad is holding Toby, hands it off to her. She like fucking, by the way, Toby's in, no, she didn't get handed off to her. Toby was in the crib. My favorite thing in movies is anytime somebody picks up a crying baby in a movie, they immediately start shaking them on their hip like they're a salt shaker. Like, just like, calm down, Toby!
Is that not, I mean, is that not what you do with a baby?
No, I feel like she does it so, they do it so aggressively in movies. They're like really being demonstrative of like, oh, come on, baby, relax, baby. You gotta get the baby to go.
Well, that's what scientists say is if your baby's acting up, you have to shake it, right? Isn't that shaken baby syndrome? It's how they get quiet. You have to give them the shakes.
Shaken baby syndrome. Gotta give that baby Parkinson's. Early onset. Really give it to it. That's how my dad got the parks.
You know?
His fucking mama shook him too hard. He got him alone with brother Kenny too often. So,
but he was quiet, and I think that's worth noting.
So a storm is brewing, okay? She's pissed off. She's with baby Tobes. He's acting a fuss.
She had already been reciting some line in the park about like
goblins.
The goblin king, take the baby.
Something about taking the baby. And then she was like, you know what? I wish the goblin king would come and take you.
And then all of a sudden,
and then
it
the
cuts
lightning
to
strikes.
Like,
lightning strikes.
And it cuts to like a pile of goblins being like, oh, she's going to do his wish for it.
Do it, say it. Why can't you get it right?
Oh, she's so close. And then
for some reason, even as goblins with a British accent, they all had bad teeth. Like they kept it accurate. Like British people never have good teeth. Even the goblins, terrible teeth.
I thought the goblins' teeth was relatively good considering they were goblins.
Compared to David Bowie's goblin teeth, they were much better.
And then there was that one dumb one who's like, well, what she doing?
He's the goblin gets shushed all the time. And then finally she says it right. And then poof, that owl, the CGI owl that we had seen fluttering
shows
around
up
the
outside the door.
It's fucking
window.
Bowie. He just comes in through the window with his package.
Because she finally said, I wish the goblin king would
come and take my baby.
And she noticed that the baby had stopped crying.
And then, oh yeah, she puts the baby down in the crib. Baby stops crying and the baby disappears. And she's like, what? And then that's when David Bowie shows up with his big old fucking junky ass dick.
I mean, I don't think we saw his dick then, like, but it was implied. Yeah. He was swiveling balls in his hand.
Yeah, he was playing. I have never seen ball play like that.
He's like, oh, he does like this weird juggling.
Yeah, where he like moves it.
Here's what
kind of
loser I am.
Backside, yeah.
Let me tell you this. Had I seen this as a kid,
you would have tried that.
I guarantee to this day, I would be very good at doing that. I would have obsessed over that ball thing until
Let me tell you something. I saw it. I tried it very hard. Very hard to make that ball. So I read about that. They actually brought in a professional juggler who was his stunt hand because Bowie couldn't get it right. It's not very teachable. Even though it's David Bowie, the man of many talents, couldn't do it. They brought in somebody who was his stunt hand.
I maintain that I would know how to do that had I seen this as a child, partly because you're right.
You were
I was
much of a loser.
I was a loser and I had no way to go.
Absolutely nothing. You'd be like, you'd heading to the park. You're going to be like, take the baby Goblin King. Hey, I'm the Goblin King.
Wasn't
you'd be
it
the park.
It
parts.
Was the woods. Yeah, like there was
the
like
woods,
a bayou.
Alaskan woods. There's a
no,
bayou.
Mississippi.
Oh, Mississippi. Sorry. Bayou, dead body.
Where there's just snakes.
Alligator.
And I'm like,
alligator's dead body. Snakes. Another human dead body. That's your uncle. Just, you know, lots of littered body parts.
I learned to pitch for softball alone throwing a ball against a chimney.
Was it even a ball or just a hardened kidney from a corpse?
The world may never know.
So Bowie is like, listen, gauntlet has been thrown. You can get this baby back. You got to get it from the castle. And for some reason, he opens up the window and the fucking front yard of her house is
no longer exists. It's now a
labyrinth. The
labyrinth
of a maze. And he's like, see that castle way, 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 way back there? Yeah, that's where the baby is. You got 24 hours, bitch.
Bye. But like, you're not going to do it. As a kid, did that labyrinth look like epic to you?
Yeah. Oh, as a kid, epic. As an adult, I was just like,
I was like, this is clearly a set on a table.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is like this
very
big.
Upsetting. Very upsetting as an adult. As a child, I was just like, oh my God, she's never going to find him.
I mean, it's, I just like,
I also remember her because I saw this when I was young. So I remembered her being, I thought she was so much older than she was.
Because that's what we thought of as like
and
older kids.
I remember thinking, oh my God, when I grow up, I want to be as pretty as her. I thought she was ethereal. I thought she was the most beautiful person I'd ever seen in my life. And now watching
she's
it, I'm like,
fine.
She's fine.
She's
like
fine.
She can catch a dick. She's yeah. whatever. She's 16.
But so could those goblins. Men will put their penis in anything.
Truly.
Just come on. That is
and what's
a gooey
disturbing
goblin.
Is how her and Bowie had sexual tension.
That was weird.
And that was a time in Hollywood when that kind of sexual tension is the kind of sexual tension that got you jobs.
Well, she got that job. I think that's worth considering. I'm not starting any rumors about Jennifer Connelly.
But you're not starting any rumors.
All I'm
about
saying
Jennifer
is every time I post about loving David Bowie, someone has to come in and go, did you know that somebody said he had sex with 2 15-year-olds? And it's like, yeah, okay, well.
Sorry, he could get girls, you know?
What do you want?
He's a sex machine. Look at that man. Did you see his package? That man is packing some heat. If that's all dick, good God, he'd blow my back out.
Oh my God. I don't know if he would blow your back out.
I'd bottom out on my bottom that's already been bottomed out.
Listen, we're going to get into his
big old
his hoggle and Ludo after the break. We go into the labyrinth.
Bye.
All right. We're okay.
Let's continue.
She immediately, by the way, goes out the door and basically is at the lab.
And then she's like, come on, feet, don't fail me now. And then she just boopity boop 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 down the hill to the outside of the labyrinth. And
by the way,
like,
grabbed nothing.
Took nothing,
no supplies.
No
not
snacks.
Not a flashlight.
What kind of woman goes on an excursion with no snacks?
It's like, that's a long ass labyrinth. You're not even going to fucking.
Bring a tampon? I mean, she's 16.
For fuck's sake. There could be bears in there. Your period could attract them.
Yeah, or sharks. You don't know if they're coming up in an ocean in there.
You might have to swim through that.
A freshwater eel?
My God, a freshwater eel.
So she
enters the labyrinth.
But she gets into the labyrinth. She had to ask for directions.
Which is fucking...
From Hoggle. And Hoggle's, she's like, hey, how do I get into the labyrinth? He's like, well, you didn't ask right. And she's like,
good luck.
And then all of a sudden she like figured out how to ask to get into the labyrinth. And he's like right there. And the door is just like conveniently right
magically
fucking behind
there,
her.
But she goes in and it goes just right and left, seemingly on forever.
And this is one of Jess's favorite lines in the whole movie. The Hoggle's like, I wouldn't go that way if I were you. And then she starts going
the worm. When she
meets the worm.
She starts going for like miles to the right.
Yeah, she starts going for miles. That was with the worm.
And then she runs into this tiny little worm.
Oh, so cute.
Who's just, by the way, someone, one of our patrons said it in the chat when we were watching, but like, I also thought we'd get more of the worm. Was hoping the worm would.
Honestly, I remember that worm more than almost any other character in that movie. I would have sworn it came back.
When he goes, hello, and she looks at the worm like, did you just say hello? And he's said, like, no, I said hello. I thought that was fun. Come in and meet the missus.
And she's like, I can't. I got to go get my baby brother.
And I like that he's like, things aren't what they seem. And then she realizes that it's almost like an optical illusion.
Yeah, of where she needs to go in.
So like there's a wall beyond the wall behind her.
And it's a green screen, of course.
Of course. And she right. goes one way and he's like, I wouldn't go that way. And then
she starts going the other
she's
way.
She's like, thanks, and heads the other way. And he's like, thank God she didn't go that way. It would have taken her right to that Goblin King's castle. And I was like,
oh, and she's off on a long journey.
I just like appreciated that. I mean, organically as a viewer, but also thinking of like, that was classic, like Jem Henson.
Yeah.
Humor for kids, yeah. Where you go like, ah, like that was very, I don't know. It felt Fozzie-berry.
Yeah.
I don't
it's
know.
So playful and fun.
But then things get fucking.
Yeah. Then things get fucked up. She's in this maze. She goes, she starts meeting characters. Okay.
Lots
Hoggle
of characters.
Comes back into play. All right. Hoggle is basically sent by the Goblin King
to try
like,
to
get
her
off trail. All right.
Yeah. He's like,
but rookie move falls in love with her is basically
course.
Like, she's amazing because how could you not?
I mean,
fall in love with
not?
Her.
Well, because first of all, the first re-encounter of him, she ends up in, what forces her into that oubliette? Was it the door with the?
She
two,
falls
the
into the oubliette when she falls down the hands.
Oh,
when
with the hands!
Remember when he's like, she's like, pick a door, which one to go through? You have to ask us which one of us is. One of us tells the truth, and one of us lies, and then she figured out which one is the truth teller. So she goes through the truthy guy's door. She's like, see, this is great. Takes and one step and just falls through the hole into this like pit of hands
that are like making faces. They're like doing this weird sign language.
By the
shit.
Way, those were actually real hands. I read.
Yeah. What? Well, of course they There's, were.
But those were actual people in there. Like. Holding her and moving her around, but she was on a harness, so they weren't actually holding her, but they made it look like that, and supposedly it was really dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge pile of hands.
Yeah, but like at the time, movies had a ton of insurance, I'm sure, at that point in time.
Or they were
so
just
like,
lawless.
Or, yeah.
Did you ever read about Milo and Otis? Don't. Oh, it's
oh, no,
real
no, no,
hard
no, no, no,
to.
No, no, no,
they
no,
had
no,
like
no.
13 Otises.
No. I can't. I cannot handle the crying I would do. I feel like that would
yeah,
be
Yeah, I'm pretty sure one of the animals just went off a waterfall, which is so sad.
Wait, why really?
Did I say that? We don't have time to go into it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it was bad. It was very bad.
Did people know this? Is this a...
Yeah, I heard about this. I heard it from another podcast. They could have been lying. This was my research.
Honestly,
they said it, and then I was just like, accepted it as fact.
That's one of the saddest things I've ever heard. Guys in the chat, guys, you can be in the chat with our Patreon listeners. Listening to this live, patreon.com/twofilthynerds.
Yeah, because if you're watching it on Comedy Store's YouTube, it is previously recorded. We
yeah,
are
yeah,
not live.
Nah, spoiler alert. So if you want to, in real time, tell us how much you hate us and how women aren't funny and how we're dog shit, head on over to our Patreon. It's super cheap and you can do it all the time and we'll actually respond to you.
Or if you want to make cool jokes like the people who are there now. Yay.
So she's going through this maze. I'm skipping some stuff because there's some.
Oh, moments. Just what I thought was interesting, really quick, if I could. The oubliette.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, oublier is a French word that means to forget.
Mm-hmm.
So
he was like, when you're in the oubliette, you get forgotten. But that's when Hoggle comes to rescue her. Hoggle gets her out.
Just went through like a back door too.
And yeah. But Jareth, who, by the way, the Goblin King, his real name is Jareth.
I grew up with a kid named Jareth, and now I am
You're
obsessed
convinced he was named after
with
this.
Finding out if he was named after the guy. Because what else was he named after? I just thought that
what
was a redneck.
His mom just had a hot nut for Bowie.
But only
in
as
movie,
that movie.
But
that
only
movie.
In that movie. I was like, oh, we're going to name him Jareth because you can't name your kid Bowie.
I thought Jareth was such a redneck name. And
oh,
seeing
no.
this
now
Goblin
like,
King
oh my
named
God.
Jareth.
Yeah. He's royalty. Are you fucking kidding?
We all called him
you
Lunchbox because
oh.
he was fat. But His real name was Jared.
Man, you named a fat kid Lunchbox?
I didn't do it. It was just...
But you leaned into it.
It was just there.
Shit.
It
was like... Everybody was calling him Lunchbox. You knew why, because he was a fucking...
He liked to
eat. Hefty guy.
Yeah, I would get mad, but he...
He ate all the things in his Lunchbox.
He would come over to my... We'd all go to my house sometimes for lunch, because I lived down the street, and he would just like eat everything. So, fuck you.
You're like, listen, your Lunchbox is not my whole refrigerator.
He could put food away.
It contains things. I'll take it. You know what? I could put things away, and no one would have called me Lunchbox. They called me bulimic. But I wasn't, because I'm too cheap for bulimia.
Oh, hello. Yeah, you guys take that. She's just skinny and eats everything she wants.
Yep. Fucking... Hate me for other things.
Yeah, I'll just call you a fucking cunt.
So they get out of the oubliette, and Hoggle promises Jareth that he's going to like lead her back to the beginning of the maze. So he's supposed to, but he's like, he ends up like kind of like fucking helping her a little bit.
But it's trying to hide the fact that
it's trying to hide
her.
The fact that he's like, and then... They run into Ludo. They meet Ludo.
Well, she runs into like, there's people like abusing. What are we? What puppets like dangling Ludo.
Dangling, abuse. It looked like a scene like
from Milo and Otis
last week.
Oh, sorry. It was like a man dangling, having shit thrown at him. Just terrible.
You know, what the people who stormed the Capitol would have done to Nancy Pelosi if they could have.
If they could have gotten their grubby little hands
their
on her.
Their grubby little hands on
and
her.
And she's standing back.
Down, skirt falling over her head, and then they would have taken these little creatures to bite her.
Yeah, and she's standing back like, what the fuck do I do? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just magically, rocks start rolling at her feet.
She's like, I wish I had something to throw. And because it's a magical place and she has magical powers and you wish for things, they come to fruition.
By the way, that she never just like wished for more?
Wished, hey, can someone bring my fucking baby brother to me?
Yeah, maybe if you just wished for it.
I love rocks and my baby brother.
Yeah, but she starts picking up and throwing at these guys and they're wearing helmets. So she's like knocking
their
helmets.
Their helmets so
they're blind and they're like running into each other.
And they're all like biting each other with their little things.
Oh, because on the top of their helmets are little like little other monsters that bite you.
That is a common theme, by the way.
Things on tops of things.
So Ludo comes down and Ludo is like traumatized. Okay?
He's this massive, giant, almost dog underbite. He looks like a monster.
Like a yeti meets a bison meets like a bear.
Like
meets Chewbacca.
Yeah, they're like on site he would be scary.
On site, but he's like so sweet, so
gentle,
scared.
And all he does is go and Ludo.
He just keeps saying his own name because like you
he's
know,
Hodor. He's Labyrinth
franchise. That's where Hodor came from. Actually, Ludo is his father.
Yeah.
So
Hodor was holding the door. Ludo was looting the door. He stole the door.
So Ludo's traumatized and she's like, there. I'm traumatized too. Let's drama bond. And that's essentially what this whole thing is everybody who's stuck in the maze under the rule of Jareth is just very traumatized, except for this guy she meets, Sir Didymus.
Oh, Didymus.
Now, Sir Didymus.
Oh, yeah. They continue on for a while. They come to a bridge.
Yeah, the bog of eternal stench. Okay, so Jareth says to Hoggle, if you don't do what I say, I will banish you to the bog of eternal stench.
Which, of course, is what I call my vagina.
Yes. And I, as someone who's sitting very close to it, I could not agree more. It's actually sort of an understatement. Now, that is the noise my vagina makes because she's cavernous.
and
that's how she introduces... I have an oubliette for a vagina. Things go in there and you
get forgotten
about them. Oh, if that isn't the soundbite for this, about us just talking about our vaginas. You have a bog of eternal stench and I'm
an oubliette.
A place where you forget things.
A black oubliette.
Ooh, my kind of black, my kind of oubliette. Okay,
they get nearly thrown into the bog.
But they don't. They make it out.
They are doing this sort of like side swindle.
Side shuffle thing.
It's very much like Harry Potter. Oh, don't touch the water.
Yeah, don't touch the water. But like, they knew not to touch the fucking water. Yeah. It smells so bad. But what I loved is that, you know, before she had, you know, experienced the Bog of Eternal Sense, she was like, how bad could it smell? And then she smells it and she's like, oh my God, rotting pus carcass.
And Ludo's like, smell!
Smell bad! Smell bad!
He gets right to the point. Ludo's a man of few words, but they're very direct.
They come to this guy.
on a
who's
bridge.
Like guarding a bridge, and they're like, we need to get over the bridge. He's like, no, you need to. It's like, he's like, you need to ask.
Yeah, he's
you
like,
you need to ask properly. And
you can't get out. No, he's like refusing to let them pass. And he's like, no one can pass without permission. And she's like, and okay, like, then can we
can
have
permission?
Permission?
And he's like, okay.
I guess so.
After you.
And he's this little like
fox
character.
Before that, he's like fighting. He's like fighting with them, and he rides a dog, an old English sheep dog.
Which, by the way, looks like her dog.
Which looks like her dog. Yes, in the beginning. I think it's, you know, for the sake of like casting, they used the same dog. Otherwise, I feel like they would have used
I didn't
dog.
Know if it was like, are they saving on animal budget or was it supposed to be reminiscent of
because
it?
It's an echo of her real life.
Because I'll tell you what I was surprised we didn't see. I really thought, and I think it's because some of these things gave me a very Wizard of Ozy feeling. Mm-hmm. She keeps meeting characters who then join her on this journey, mm-hmm. much like Dorothy does in Wizard of Oz. I thought we were going to see the stepmother.
Yeah. In some incarnation.
And I was surprised we didn't.
You know, one of the things I read about the movie is that they if you see, remember at the beginning of the movie when they're like panning across her bedroom and they're like kind of showing her bedroom, just like some establishing yes. shots, and they pan past a bunch of books, and one of them was Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
So the inspiration for the movie was a lot of it was drawn from those books.
Yeah. If you watch, you can see these like different books, and they have said, you know, since the movie came out,
yeah,
it was supposed to be kind of foreshadowing yeah. to what was going on like, in her mind and her
what
subconscious.
What her like big, you know, excursion was.
And also
be
apparently
like,
her mirror is a shrine to David Bowie. Yeah.
So if you look at the mirror, it's a shrine to David Bowie.
So what's funny about this Goblin King character is going like, oh, well, he's playing this Goblin King. But like, it's like in her mind, mm-hmm. it's David Bowie as yeah. a Goblin King. Mm-hmm. Like it is David Bowie.
So it's like she was automatically drawn to him and he was drawn to her because he was a pedophile in the
yeah.
movie.
And in life.
And in life, I guess. But we don't know. But God rest his soul. Wow, what a talent.
They kept cutting back to him, you know, as she's getting further on the journey. He's surrounded by these dancing goblins in his
dancing goblins. And he, by the way, just such a piece of shit. He'd always like say something that's just not funny at all. And he'd like look around and be like, time to laugh.
Yeah, he's like every male comedian I've ever met.
Every
just
male
like,
comedian. That's your cue.
That
I
was
said
the punchline.
Funny. So he's, you know, a very bad. I also found out that the baby was terrified of him.
I mean, understandable.
I think anybody.
He's got a very powerful essence. I think that would be overwhelming for most babies when he's not in a Goblin King costume.
I mean, could you imagine being a baby and seeing that face and just coming as a baby? Just a kid just throwing a rope.
There's a lot of original music. I mean, he has that one time where he sings.
Can
she gets
talk
past
about
something.
Babies coming, Sam? Are you going to edit out babies coming?
Hey, babies come and babies go. And that's.
And as long as I'm coming, I don't care if the babies are coming or going.
I don't want anything to do with babies. So.
Ooh, babies.
Should I stop coming? Ooh. Is that what causes babies?
Baby. You're coming. No, his coming. Maybe.
Maybe, baby. She reminds me of the babe. Okay, so
she
that song.
She reminds me of the babe.
So it cuts back to him fucking kind of being angry that she's getting further along. Mm-hmm. And he sings, all the music is original Bowie songs. Mm-hmm. But he sings this song, She Reminds Me of the Babe.
What babe?
The babe with the power.
What power?
The power
of voodoo.
Who do you do?
Remind me of the babe.
What in the fuck was he talking about?
There are many moments in this film where I'm like, you know what? Mushrooms would be great right about now.
I think this was meant to be watched. I think I would love for someone to tell me how often Jim Henson did hallucinogenics.
Does someone know that? Is there information on that?
You know what? I don't know if I've said this before, so stop me if I have. Have I? I did a whole report on him in 10th grade.
No, honestly.
In 10th grade, we were assigned.
Go on, you loser.
We had to write an essay about, and no one, you had to pick a person and it couldn't be someone anyone else picked, but they'd be like, oh, it's taken. You had to do an essay and a presentation on the most influential person in American history. And I chose Jim Henson.
I mean,
that is how much I love Jim Henson.
At that point in your life, he could have been.
And my argument in my speech was that like, in my personal American history, mm-hmm. the man who has been the most influential to me, because I fucking grew up loving Fraggle Rock. I love the Muppets.
Also,
we should do
I'm
Fraggle
sure your
Rock.
Teacher thought you were super fucking like deep for saying Jim Henson.
Well, after she turned me down for first requesting to do Hugh Hefner, I don't think she thought I was that deep. But She's like, you can't. And I'm like, all right, well, you can continue to censor the media, but you're never going to stop the truth. And that's
wait, was this
in, important.
Was this in Alaska?
Yeah.
Or, okay, it was Alaska. All right.
I loved that teacher.
Other students were like, John Deere.
Yeah. No, but like, for real. But you look at like, I mean, you look at Labyrinth, you look at Dark Crystal. But
fucked
even just,
that man was doing fucking drogas.
I mean, who came up with Fraggle Rock that wasn't in some sort of like deep mushroom trip about how like we're just a tiny part in this bigger world? Like
there's another world below us.
Like what? Because the Fraggles are like in a hole in the wall inside of a man's. You know, this is a regular man on Earth workshop, mm-hmm. and you go in, there's this whole underground world. You go outside that, there's this whole world of Gorgs. It's like worlds inside worlds inside worlds.
You remember Fraggle Rock really well. I remember the song and how cute they were.
You know why? It's because in Germany, we didn't have, there wasn't like English speaking TV. They had one like armed forces channel. So my grandma.
That's how they continued to promote anti-Semitism without the English speaking folk finding out.
Yeah. That they just go like, no, it's just a shoe commercial. Do you want to know where we got these shoes? They're vintage. And you're like, I'm just going to change
vintage
it to the-
shoes. You don't want to get vintage shoes in Germany.
Germany. Yeah, no. This came from your ancestors. Bad news.
But wow, were they made well.
Boy.
You know what? That is such a testament to Jewish craftsmanship that
those shoes
still lasted.
I have walked through more pairs of cheaply made shoes in the last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Holocaust Museum really is just like a gold mine of like reselling shoes.
Of just quality. You know what? Shoes of that time. I got a pair of vintage.
Yeah, they're made to last.
Yeah. And I wore them around Europe and boy, were my feet hurting by the end. And yeah. I think that was God telling me this was a shameful decision.
Yeah, yeah. No. That was God being like, oh, you're in Germany and your shoes hurt. Imagine how the Jews felt when they had to walk thousands of miles until they died.
Because God is a Jewish woman, as we know. I gave you my only son. My only son. I'll never
and look
stop
what
doing
you
this
gave
bit.
To me. Look what you gave to me.
My only begotten son. I don't fucking.
He was a carpenter. So what? It was a job.
It was a noble career. Oh. The point of that was my grandma would record. These were the days when you could like hit record on VHSs and just whatever was on the TV would just record.
Yep.
So she would record like Saturday morning cartoons and sent us a bunch of tapes. But I only had that handful of tapes. So I would rewatch the same shit over and over. So like there is one Fraggle Rock episode that I probably know front to back because I watched it over and over. But it was just my
front
favorite.
To back. Not only a good way to know Fraggle Rock, but also a good way to wipe.
Yeah,
front to back.
Don't some people learn the hard way.
Back to front, poopy balls.
Yeah, or UTI.
Yeah, woof, burner.
Oh boy,
burner.
I used to get chronic UTIs.
Yeah, I still do.
I don't think that's why, because I remember feeling pretty bullied about the fact that I kept being at. Maybe the first one was, I think I was a little kid. I don't think anyone explained to me how to wipe. I think I just had to figure it out. That's a metaphor for my entire childhood. But I just kept getting them. And after a while, I was like, go front to back. Can you find another solution? And you know what worked for me is that my stepmom told me, if you get another UTI, they're going to send you to a urologist who's going to stick something the size of a spoon up there to have to look at it. And I just never had a UTI again.
Wow, that's
they just
you.
Went away.
Just so you know, I went to a urologist this past week and it's you don't even feel it. He was like, because he does this thing.
You
where,
don't, because your
like,
pussy
he's like,
fell
he's
apart.
Like, yeah, I mean, my vagina is a giant waste. It's an oubliette. We've said this. He was like, do you feel this? I was like, no. I'm like, is there something there? He's like, it's not cold. I was like, no, I feel nothing. Is my urethra dead?
Are the nerve endings dead? Is it turning black?
I don't know. I mean,
like Dumbledore's hand?
He said, I'm fine. I have some issues down there. We'll talk about it another time. I'll be setting up a GoFundMe for the surgery that I'm ultimately going to need. I'm not sure if my insurance covers it. We'll see.
I'll be setting up a GoFundMe for the price of the surgery so that I can pay off my student loans and pay
perfect,
my rent.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. So
we've derailed.
Derailed. So, you know, there's a scene where she goes into this like dream state where it's a masquerade ball.
That's weird. Like, oh, because Hoggle gives her a peach.
Yeah, Hoggle gives her a peach that makes her forget.
Yeah, he was given by Jareth and he guiltily is like, yeah, here, have this.
So it's basically like two bros are at a bar. One of them roofies the girl and then he lets the other friend just fucking date rape her.
Yeah.
But instead of date raping her, Bowie's like, let's tango.
Let's dance. Put on your red shoes and dance the blues.
Was she wearing red shoes, you think?
I don't know. That would have been way too
By
much.
By the way,
like,
why red shoes?
Why didn't they play that song? I don't know. I think that is that a Dorothy reference? I have no idea.
Yes, it is. It has to be. You cannot reference red shoes and it not be a Dorothy
I don't know.
Reference.
I feel like red shoes for going out is just iconic. Did you ever hear that? You're going to say no and tell me to go fuck myself. The Kelly Pickler song, Red
honestly,
High Heels.
Honestly, you were right. Go fuck yourself.
Because I'm going out tonight.
I'm going in my red high heels.
She was a country singer on American Idol.
Who loved... Oh, I remember Kelly Pickler. She was on American Idol. Oh,
yeah, her mom abandoned her.
Wholesome, that girl. Wholesome, wholesome, wholesome. She looked,
Baby, I got
that plans
That
what a girl would have been
tonight.
In Hitler Youth in about a fucking snap of a
Scooped
finger.
Scooped up. She would have been leading Scoopity the songs. Doopity.
She would have been Ava Braun's personal assistant.
Baby, I've got and I'm going out tonight in these shoes from Jews.
Shoes from Jews.
Oh, my God. That's not
good. That
was
a big shoe store during the Holocaust. Shoes from Jews.
Shoes from Jews. Oh, I'm just going to run over to SFJ and grab a few things. Do you need anything? Oh, I love shoes for Jews. Let me know if they have any boots.
Let me just come with you.
Oh, the little booties.
Oh, boots aren't in season yet. The Jews from last season already been picked over. But if you wait, they're having a whole new stock of Jews coming through this winter and we'll get more boots.
These are going to go out completely pretty soon.
Do you think any Jew like ended up wearing like a pair of flip-flops to Auschwitz and was like, God, I really picked the wrong shoes today. I picked the wrong shoes to flee from my home and then get fucking trapped.
I think it's
like... Are we going to get canceled for this?
I don't know.
I'm a Jew. She's a half Jew. We're allowed to make fun of it.
Okay,
we're not making fun of it. We're making fun of the Germans. You know, okay, anyway, so...
Listen, this is how we cope. Fuck you.
So
she ends up in this dream state where she's having... That's where the sexual tension comes in.
That's where the sexual tension comes in. But at some point during the dream state, it's shattered. She remembers...
That she's in a dream state.
That she's in a dream state. She tries remembers...
She's inside, basically, like inside an ornament.
Yeah. And then breaks her way out and then remembers that she's trying to find her little brother.
Yeah, it takes her a minute, but she's like, I was looking for something.
She comes to and she's like, oh my God, wait, I have all my clothes on. Was I raped in a fraternity at Stanford? No,
which
it was
has happened to all of us, where you're like, was yes. I raped? Where are my underwear?
Do you ever, like, when you like are out and you're drunk, do you ever like wake up and you just like pat your holes to make sure they're intact?
Not anymore, fortunately, but
the whole pat down.
I would be lying if I said that there wasn't a good chunk of my college career where I woke up and went, uh oh, I don't know what
your
happened.
You're like, Jess, you lost your wallet. You're like, yeah, and my dignity. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
So
that was before Lyft and Uber. Everyone has it so easy. You had to call a friend to come pick you up from some stranger's apartment.
Yeah. Or
where, like, you're like, I don't know what happened to my bra. And there's like cum in your hair.
And then you just collect all your stuff in your arms, like crumpled. And you just get into the car. Your fucking mascara is coming down your face. Is it crying? Is it cum?
And
you're
like, brunch?
Did you just sweat a lot when you were sleeping because for some reason you were sick and then you broke a fever? In a fucking fraternity. Anywho, so she comes to, she's like, all right, they're getting to the castle, they're super close, and all of a sudden they send in like the goblin army to like get them, and like,
oh, this is all out war and fucking
warfare.
Didymus is like so brave.
Didymus is like, charge! And first of all, Didymus, delusional. He is delusional as a male comic who thinks he's funny.
Yeah, this like, is like he's open like, oh, micer have- who shows up and they're like, I'm going to have a special.
I'm going to have a special tomorrow.
And then they go up and they're like doing
they're
a
like,
street
like,
joke.
Women are fucking, all women do is make fucking sex jokes and talk about their pussy. And then
so
they
anyways,
get
I was jerking off to a picture of a rabbit. And you're like, all right, fucking idiot.
So they battle these guys. The battle is not that important. But what's important is they finally get into the castle. And she's like, listen, you guys. I have to do this on my own.
Yeah. Wait, I want to back up for just a second.
Okay. Because I'm about to complain about women.
Yeah. Because I want to lean into that as well. But there's this thing that I think we overlooked. It's not a huge part of the plot, but Ludo can call rocks.
Oh, yeah. Ludo, which is very reminiscent of the Neverending Story, the rock biter.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Does he call rocks or
he
does
eats
he just...
rocks. He eats rocks.
I feel like it just...
It's just two men who have relationships with rocks.
Okay, that's fair. So Ludo gets them across the bog by calling rocks up from under the sea.
Yeah.
And then when they're in this big warfare, all of a sudden they're like, Ludo, call the rocks! And he's like, rocks! And then rocks start barreling in. I don't know, he doesn't say rocks. I feel like that's what he did. Look, I don't think... he's not a smart man.
No, nothing thing. About him. If he were a human, he'd speak with a Southern accent.
He's Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Absolutely. I love Brett and I come and I want to make my...
Look, I brought in the walks. But like, he, I mean, that's what... That's that
he does.
Is the,
he does. He's
that's
special.
The final thing on... I mean, the rocks is what really knocks him out.
Yeah.
So anyway, she gets in the castle.
She gets into the castle. She gets into the castle. And now she's used these three men. All right. Not a very feminist story. Just a woman who desperately needed three men to
get where she was going.
And then she finally got to where she was going. And she's like, you know what, guys? I got to do this alone. I got to go get the glory on my own.
Yeah. She climbed to where she was on the backs of three other people, got there and was like, I'm going to pretend I did this all by myself. Does that remind you of anyone? Anyone in Hollywood?
Hillary Clinton.
What? Hillary Clinton, you lizard bitch. You know what? You just turns into
Listen,
a fucking
Kathy,
crazy.
You got it back. Kathy's her mom. Kathy, her mom hated Hillary. Anyways, I'm sure a lot of the fucking shut-ins
She still does.
She still does. All the shut-ins on the Comedy Store YouTube are like, yeah, fuck Hillary. So she gets into this MC Escher maze, and that's when Bowie like comes in singing with his fucking big old package.
Yeah, they do a shot to make sure they show his package.
Honestly, I cannot believe how everything he wore accentuated more and more. I think by the end of the movie, his package had like doubled in size.
It's like, does he have a big dong? Was that an inside joke just for him? Is that in his rider? Because in Saturday's episode, his dick shows up, I think, in every movie he does.
It's actually part of every contract he has ever gotten for a movie. He's like, listen, he has his lawyer knows it. His lawyer's like, listen, Bowie's not going to do this. Unless his dick makes a cameo.
He needs an accentuated
penis. They're
like,
okay, well,
penis.
We can't have raw dick in this. It's a movie for kids. It's a Jim Henson movie.
And they're like, what about an outline? Like a mushroom stamp against his thigh.
Bulges. How do you feel about bulges?
And they're like, a sock bulge? Fine. No imprints.
But wait, what about catcher, professional baseball catcher cup bulge?
Yeah, if right where his dick is on his pants, for some reason, is a different color.
Perfect.
Inexplicably.
And then shading. Can we get some shading on the cock piece?
We need a dick light? It's got its own light.
Yeah, it has its own light. Absolutely. No question about it. It's actually a small person. That was Peter Dinklage.
It's actually like when you listen to him sing, you hear harmonizing. That's just his dick.
Yes.
The dick is like,
And then when he was doing the thing in the maze, when he was walking through the stairs, remember when he's walking on the stairs and then he tips over? That's just his dick pulling
the
him
momentum
down.
Of his dick, just he's swinging just like, him around.
He's like, whoa.
It's like his, and then when he comes up from it, it's like his dick has a mind of its own. Like it's like pulling him forward.
But to get back up, he like throws it over his shoulder. He's like, whoa.
Do your dick hang low? Do it wobble to and fro? Can you tie it in a knot? Can you tie it in a bow? Can you throw it over your shoulder like a continental soldier? Does your dick
Bowie hang lowy?
Look, you guys. The point is, she gets the baby. It was all a dream.
It was all a dream. I used to read Labyrinth, the book, and then I'd go to the park. You know, at the end, everything's happy. And it's like, you know, she's like, was it a dream? You know, these people were my friends.
And she looks in the mirror.
And she doesn't see them there. And then she looks in the mirror. She sees them, turns around. They're not there. And then looks back to the mirror. And they're like, Sarah, if you ever need us, all you need to do is ask. And she's like, I need you. And then she turns around. I just got goosebumps.
And they're all there. Well, is it because you feel like, is this a metaphor for like not letting go of your childhood completely?
I'm just so sad.
Why?
I'm so lonely.
Wait, what? What in the... Call on your childhood. Yeah, maybe if you had been more of a loser like me and invested in the characters of your childhood, you would have things to reminisce on.
Well, you didn't have a dad.
Yeah.
So you had to get dad figures and characters.
Yeah, well, I'm not sad right now.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
We both have dead dads. In any case, you guys, that's the story.
She makes it out. It's kind of like it was all a dream, but like, was it a metaphor for like your subconscious and like how that like, you know, you can grow up and still, you know, still have a place in your heart for these things of the past and memories? We may never know. Mm-hmm. All we know is at this point, David Bowie's got at least the outline of a big dick.
If that dude doesn't have a fucking python, just a fucking pipe, like when he pulls his pants down, it falls like a fucking twin tower. Just a big old fucking dick.
It was an inside job. Okay. Look, that, and this did nothing to curb my fears that he may have been a pedophile. But all in
is
all,
is it one of those things where it's like, look at the art, the work over the artist?
Separate the art from the artist?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, his work, phenomenal.
Then this was Jim Henson's work. And I want to go, out noting another display of mastery of puppeteering. I mean, Hoggle was manned by three people. You mm-hmm. saw all these goblin mm-hmm. puppets. Very beautiful. All of those puppets were made by hand. Mm-hmm. That's fucking
amazing.
A hit for Jim Henson.
I now know why you love Jim Henson so much. Jim Henson. Henson.
Jim Henson, the fifth Henson brother. Which, of course, we know there were three members of Henson, a fat brother who was not in the band, probably because of bias.
He wasn't even in the family.
And then Jim Henson.
They're like, you're too big to be in this family.
Yeah, you're too big for our band. Literally. You don't fit on stage. And then Jim Henson, who they suspected. It's like, you know, of course he had Bowie. It's like a guy who does puppets, probably not a pedophile.
No. If you are into puppets, there is a 99.9% chance you fantasized about tickling something you shouldn't be tickling.
But honestly, if your love for puppets brings to life Big Bird and Kermit, finger me as a kid. I don't care.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make me your puppet.
Super boop, cute boop, kid. Boop,
boop, boop, boop. I would have been a great finger puppet. Anyway, we gotta go.
Thanks. We'll see you on the next episode where we talk about the next David Bowie movie.
The man who fell to earth on Saturday.
Fell to earth with his big dick.
And join Patreon to be part of our live stream next week where we start the last Harry Potter book. Good night.
Bye.
This has been a Two Filthy Nerds production.